Brother Rush Shalhoub will start with a 10-minute comments. Then Brother John will also have 10 minutes, and I will have 10 minutes. And then after that, we'll discuss the questions, and I'll kind of just run through the questions quickly for everybody. Of course, the topic is Ecclesia Privileges and Responsibilities. We're going to start out with regular attendance at Ecclesia meetings, discouragement, preparing for meetings, participation, studies, discourses, testimony meetings, business meetings, and ecclesia decisions versus personal decisions. So that's where we're going to kind of outline that. So, Brother Russ, if you'd like to take the stand first.
First of all, we are thankful we have this privilege of being here with you, brethren, and we trust that the topic will be provoking in thought, and that we might be able to each be encouraged to seek the Lord's wisdom and counsel in these matters, because surely with the state of affairs that we all observe in various ecclesias that we're familiar with, there are many things that are going on, that some things known to us, others that are not. But demonstrate the reality, if you will, at least from our perspective, that we are approaching, as it were, the end of the age. And these things shouldn't be too unexpected, but on the other hand, our desire should be to encourage our brethren in righteousness and toward the direction of making wise decisions and being prosperous spiritually. As Brother Ron had indicated, this is somewhat reminiscent of material that's covered in the sixth volume under the heading of the order and discipline of the new creation. And certainly some of this will be very familiar to you, but hopefully some of the thoughts that might be expressed or some of the content might be helpful. In discussing this topic, I think it should be noted that some of the comments that might be expressed here from the platform or even elsewhere in private conversation are those that might be likened, if you will, as a science, a thus saith the Lord. But other aspects with regard to ecclesia matters or personal interactions that we might have are like the Apostle Paul had kind of suggested, speaking not by commandment, but by practical aspects of decision making and what we think is the right course of action to take or the avenue to kind of go down. So some of it is a thus saith the Lord, some of it is not by a commandment. And that's where it you'll find that we sometimes, as elders or not, find ourselves in various degrees of disagreement with our brethren. I mean, this is almost inevitable. But we need to each, according to the tenor of Scripture as we understand it, try to offer counsel. Hopefully that's for the better rather than for the worse. That having been said, it should be driven by our desire of fidelity to the Lord. What would he be pleased with versus what we might describe as a misguided attitude of reconciliation? How can we please one another, or how can we kind of get along with one another? That really is not the point that the Lord is trying to teach us in. He's trying to teach us what his principles and precepts are. And our desire should be fidelity to what he wants of us. Of course, if this is not a great enough responsibility already, we think the problem is further compounded on the battleground of life and in the heat of the moment when we, including those of us who are elders, sometimes say things that we ought not to have said or perhaps practice some of those things that are contrary to what we preached. So we have to be very conscious, self-conscious, if you will, of what we say and how we behave. So whether it be matters of little consequence or those of life and death, we would urge you to carefully weigh what each of us, and this time I might suggest each of us three elders up here might say, by way of guidance, with regard to matters concerning the church. We all should be Berean-like in our assessment of what we hear. We need to develop the ability to discern between good and evil, and this is a personal responsibility with personal accountability. An ecclesia cannot do this for us. This is where, as it were, the rubber meets the road. We all have a personal responsibility along these lines. Of course, familiar scripture in that regard, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then another text from 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into this world. Because many false prophets have gone out into this world. And then the last scripture that we'll offer along these lines from Romans 14:5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And this is where we need to be careful that we do not lay an overemphasis in taking a position on matters because we prefer one elder over another elder. This needs to be a matter of personal conviction based on personal study of the Bible. I think it should also be noted as a general rule that in addition to our individual lives being, as it were, a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men, as a call to our attention in Corinthians, we collectively, as the Apostle Paul also expresses, are to be an epistle known and read of all men. If we can't do it right in the context of the ecclesia, among those whom we love and have a mutual desire to do the Lord's word, how can we expect to be counted worthy enough to do this on behalf of wretched humanity? Because humanity, if the church has enough troubles, it's nothing in comparison to the issues that mankind is facing. So I think we have to be very conscious that we are indeed a spectacle. We are an epistle. And in that regard, our public conduct, our public decisions are those that are being looked upon, whether we realize that or not. And finally, in closing, I generally myself prefer not to make a special distinction between privileges and responsibilities, because all things being equal, we should regard our responsibilities as privileges. However, I guess under certain circumstances, it might be more constructive to emphasize, if you will, that some things, in fact, are by command, and consequently, they are a responsibility. If we fail to heed those instructions that are by command, we certainly are putting ourselves in greater spiritual jeopardy because we can readily observe that natural Israel had to learn the hard way. And their disobedience, which is typical of the church's disobedience, led to a dire consequence. I mean, there's no question. You read the Old Testament, you read the experiences of natural Israel, you cannot help but discern that they were punished numerous times. And, of course, God, you know, chastises the Son whom he loves. But there's a point where you can see that even through many of those experiences, there were casualties of an extraordinary nature. And the Nadabs, Abihus, the Korah, rebellion and such. These are lessons with regard to those that will fail to attain the crown. We believe this is illustrations of those that go into second death. So this is not a light matter. Ecclesia matters are not a light matter. And consequently, we think it deserves special attention.
Iubiți frați,
dear brethren,
ne bucurăm să fim împreună.
We're happy to be again together.
Subiectul privilegii și responsabilități.
The subject of privileges and responsibilities.
Cred că așa cum s-a amintit de fratele,
similarly to how it was mentioned by the brother before me,
de multe ori nu le-am putea despărți.
Many times cannot be disconnected or taken apart.
Totuși, eu aș vrea să spun, dacă respectăm responsabilitățile, avem privilegii.
And I would like to add that if we obey or follow the responsibilities, then we will have reap privileges.
Dacă ascultăm de Dumnezeu, avem binecuvântări.
If we obey God, we will receive blessings.
Din punct de vedere al organizării,
from an organizational standpoint,
Dumnezeu a ordonat poporul evreu să aibă o organizare.
God commanded Israel to have organization in their midst.
Și aș vrea să mă duc mai exact.
And I would like to more precisely continue this thought.
Seminția lui Levi a fost hotărâtă de Dumnezeu să fie o națiune sau o seminție organizată în mod special.
God, from the beginning, God set aside the tribe of Levi and ordered that it would be organized in a very special way.
Nu putea oricare să spună, eu prind și duc chivotul de aici încolo și mâine îl va duce un altul sau un altul.
One example, the Ark of the Covenant could not be carried and picked up by whoever wanted to do so, and one day would be somebody, another day somebody else would have that responsibility.
Fiecare a avut o misiune specială.
Everyone had a special mission.
Fiecare a știut ce are de făcut.
Everyone knew the service they had to fulfill.
Privind din acest unghi,
looking at the subject from this perspective,
ne uităm la adunare.
We then go and look at the ecclesia setting.
Fiecare membru în adunare are un loc special.
Every member in an ecclesia has a special place in that ecclesia.
Acolo trebuie să lucreze foarte, foarte în armonie unii cu alții.
And everyone has to work harmoniously with each other.
Și aș vrea să mai aduc încă un exemplu.
Another example I'd like to bring.
O familie de albine.
A family of bees.
Ele sunt foarte bine organizate.
They are very well organized.
Unele albine numai fac așa cu aripile și fac vânt acolo, aer condiționat.
Some of the bees, their function is just to cool the air around the ones that are working, so just function is as an air conditioning.
Altele păzesc pe matcă.
Others are protecting the matcă queen.
Da, ala care mama sau care.
Oh, the queen, I think. Or the hive, yeah.
Unele fixează mierea în fagure.
Others have the function of fixing or placing the honey in the right spots in the hive.
Ce s-ar întâmpla acolo dacă toate ar lucra anapod, așa, fiecare unde ar putea prinde?
What would happen if each of them or all of them would work and try to do each other's work or try different functions in the hive?
E o regulă extraordinară.
So it's an extraordinary rule or order.
Insecte atât de micuțe.
Insects are very, very small.
Și așa inteligență sau le-a creat Creatorul, le-a dat atâta pricepere ca ele să se organizeze atât de minunat.
And we see such a wonderful ability to function so beautifully.
Cred că și în ceea ce privește adunarea trebuie să fie o organizare foarte minunată, foarte armonioasă.
I believe that among the brethren the organization should be functioning in a harmonious way, in a beautiful way.
Apostolul Pavel scrie Efesenilor.
Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians.
Supuneți-vă unii altora în frica lui Hristos.
Obey one another in the fear or reverence of Christ.
Sigur că apostolul face o comparație între familia umană și biserica lui Hristos.
Of course, in that setting, Paul makes a comparison between the natural family and the family of Christ.
Dacă soțul nu se înțelege cu soția și soția nu ascultă niciodată de soț, acea familie nu merge bine.
If the wife, soția nu se ascultă. If the wife and husband, they do not listen to each other, they do not work together, there is no harmony there.
Cred că acest lucru ar trebui să fie valabil în fiecare comunitate creștină, cât ar fi de micuță.
And I believe that the same principle applies to the smallest ecclesia that there is out there.
Întâlnirea noastră la oaltă ar trebui să ne producă bucurie.
The gathering together of brethren should produce and bring out happiness.
Dacă o soră sau un frate lipsește, ar trebui să ne întrebăm, ce se întâmplă?
If a brother or sister is missing, we should ask, what's happening with that brother or sister?
Nu ca și la școală că îl punem absent.
It's not the same as in a class setting where, oh, he's not here, okay, he's just marked absent.
Ci să ne gândim că nu cumva este bolnav, are vreo problemă.
But immediately to think, is that brother ill or something happening in that brother's life or sister's life?
Aș vrea să vă spun încă un exemplu scurt.
Another example, short example.
Într-o adunare s-a întâmplat că un frate n-a mers la adunare.
In a meeting, a brother, they had the experience of a brother not attending.
Mai mult timp.
A long time.
Bătrânul de adunare s-a dus să-l viziteze.
And the elder went to visit.
Și tocmai era acolo în curte, făcea foc.
And he found this brother building a fire in their back front yard.
L-a întrebat de sănătate și în scurt timp.
The elder asked him how he was doing.
A luat un lemn de pe focul lui și l-a pus așa deoparte.
Cine?
Bătrânul de adunare.
Oh, the elder then, shortly after the conversation started, took one of the logs from the fire, took it out and put it on the side.
După un timp, acel lemn a început numai să scoată fum.
And after a short time, that log was just fumating, it was just fumes coming out of it, the fire was out of that log.
Fratele care nu mergea la adunare și-a dat seama și-a luat lemnul de acolo și l-a pus înapoi pe grămada de lemne cu foc.
And the brother realized automatically what the elder was trying to teach him, took the log back and put it back in the fire.
Și a spus la bătrân, mulțumesc, am înțeles totul.
And he said to the elder, thank you very much, I understood the message.
Și n-a mai lipsit altul de la adunare.
And did not miss from class anymore.
Mulțumesc.
Let us turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and we're going to read verses 24 through 27 from the Amplified Version. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 24 through 27. And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. For if we go on deliberately and willingly sinning after once acquiring the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice left to atone for our sins, no for further offering to which to look forward. There is nothing left for us then but a kind of awful and fearful prospect, an expectation of divine judgment, and the fury of burning wrath and indignation which will consume those who put themselves in opposition to God. The word ecclesia is commonly used to refer to regular gatherings of individuals who meet together to study the scriptures. The origin of this word comes from the Greek word 1577, literally, those called out, and is translated church or assembly. At the time Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, the church was in a state of persecution, and therefore their meetings were held in private for fear of persecution. This fear of persecution seems to compel many of the Lord's people to desert meeting together, thus giving up the strengthening and instructive means of encouragement. However, the emphasis in the scriptures is on the common destiny of God's people and their need to love each other in real practical ways. In other words, to build up each other up in the faith. This involvement or encouragement necessitates personal relationships, communication, and working together for the common goal of uplifting the Lord's people. And this is impossible unless God's people meet together and often. The perception for exhorting one another is to meet, and the more as we see the day approaching. We should consider one another to provoke to love and good works. Christians need to develop a tender consideration and concern for one another. They should affectionately consider their brethren's wants, weaknesses, and temptations. And they should do this not to reproach one another, but to provoke to love and good works. However, in the last few decades, the secular world has produced efforts to discredit the importance of believers meeting together. The new golden rule is unabashed selfishness, looking out for number one. This has become the acceptable part of our popular culture and can serve as a delusion to the Lord's people. Personal spiritual development is woven together with ecclesia experiences, attending studies, participating in choosing leaders, supporting class activities, and serving in various ways stimulates personal Christian growth and development. As we relate to the trials and joys of those of our fellowship and make our brethren's needs a sincere concern and an important part of our daily prayer, our new creature begins to develop in the image and likeness of God's dear Son. However, knowing our brethren cannot be done through isolation, but through attendance at regular ecclesia meetings. Colossians 1:9 tells us, "For this reason we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you." And James, in James 5, verse 16, tells us to confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Intimacy with fellow brethren increases when self and selflessness is removed and the true focal point is on the spiritual well-being of a brother or sister because they have been made meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians 1 verse 12. The Apostle Peter reminds us to love the brotherhood, as 1 Peter 2 verse 17 states. And this concept carries with it the insistence to be attuned to the needs of others to the degree that self becomes not only unimportant, but actually non-existent. By not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as Hebrews 10 verse 25 states, and actively participating as members of such an arrangement proves a sincere appreciation for the privilege of meeting together. The scriptures tell us to consider and to give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. Upon achieving this condition, the consecrated are in a position to consider others and to provoke unto love and good works. Hebrews 10:24. This commitment of meeting together is a requirement to assist our brethren in their Christian walk. Indeed, we are our brother's keeper, as the question was asked in Genesis 4, verse 9. By keeping our brother, we guard them, protect them, and attend to their needs. Regardless of talents, all have the opportunity to have true brotherly love and care for each other. By listening, caring, and sharing with our brethren in daily experiences, in non-judgmental fashion, and with an attitude of brotherly love, is not only a privilege of all of the Lord's people, but a responsibility to each ecclesia member. And so with that, we'd like to start with our first question. And like I said, all the other questions are going to be kind of subsets to this. And the brethren have done their studying, and they can weave in other points that they feel that they want to weave in. So let me get back to the seat here. Why is it important to have regular attendance at the meetings? And we'd like to cite a scripture, and we'll open it up for the comments at that point. And that scripture would be Hebrews 10, verse 25. And we've already mentioned that one, but we'll state it one more time. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. So we're open for comments. Brother John?
Gândesc că Domnul a promis în Matei 18, versetul 19 și 20. Matei 18.
In Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20, our Lord made a promise.
Că acolo unde se adună doi sau trei, El este de față.
That wherever two or three are gathered together, that He would be present there.
Este o binecuvântare să fim împreună în adunare, că acolo este Domnul.
There is a blessing, special blessing, of being together with the brethren because the Lord will be there.
Și încă, încă o dovadă.
And another scripture.
Psalmul 133.
Of Psalm 133.
David spune că Dumnezeu trimite binecuvântare acolo unde sunt frați împreună.
And David states that God sends blessings in the place where the brethren are gathered together.
Este ca un de lemn turnat pe capul lui Aaron, care se
cuvărat. It's like the oil, the oil that is anointed, anointed oil that falls down from the head down to the remainder of the body.
Care sigur reprezintă Spiritul Sfânt care se
cuvărat. Representative of the Holy Spirit.
Peste întreagă biserica, dar și peste fiecare adunare în parte.
That will be covering the whole church, but also applies individually to each brother that that participates.
I'm reminded a good number of years ago, Brother Ben Cermak once gave me a little quote. He was a collector, I guess, of what you call one-liners, simple statements that had a rather profound lesson. And the one that stuck with me was, you do what you want to do. You do what you want to do. And that really speaks quite volumes, in a sense, in terms of meeting attendance, where you set your priorities with regard to your Christian walk. And, you know, of course, when we read these texts in Hebrews, and I might take it maybe from the other angle, certainly, as expressed already, there are many benefits to meeting collectively as a body members. In fact, it's said that the church is not one member, but many. So it really, functionally speaking, an ecclesia constitutes wheresoever two or three or more are gathered, that constitutes this concept of an ecclesia. But as we read those citations in Hebrews, you can see it's almost like a progressive lesson. It's saying, well, if you don't meet, and then it goes on how sore the punishment is for those that trample underfoot the Son of God. It shows that it's almost like you've made yourself a target, an open target for the adversary if you fail to have a measure of contact with the brotherhood. And of course, these are general statements. You know, in some instances, there are brethren that are isolated or for reasons of health or even finance may not be able to get out and meet in person with brethren. But there are at least, I'll say, more alternatives than there were in the past, because you can call up on the phone and participate in conference studies or on the internet. But I think there is as much of a lesson in Hebrews suggesting that if a person died under the testimony of two or three witnesses, quite literally, in the Old Testament, under the Mosaic law, if someone accused you of a gross sin, you know, a capital sin, and somebody confirmed that, it was the obligation of the tribe or the nation of Israel to put you to death. And, you know, that's a pretty profound lesson just by itself. But the Apostle Paul elevates it yet another step, because he's speaking to spiritual Israel. He says, how much sorer the punishment, showing that if we're talking in the context of the body of Christ, those that are spirit-begotten, that quite literally our spiritual lives, our eternal destiny is at stake if we don't heed the counsel of God's word. There isn't a second chance. There isn't anything down the road that we can hope for if we are not, if we don't find repentance or some way to get back into the family of God. So those scriptures in I think in Hebrews speak volumes about how serious things are. Of course, in a general lesson, the quote that Brother Ben shared was one thing, but even our Lord says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that really, in a scriptural way, I think is a parallel lesson to all of this. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, you know, our desire to fellowship around the Word is crucial.
Okay. Brother John, did you have any follow-up at all? Or?
Așa cum s-a amintit, fiecare, dacă lipsește din adunare, pierde sau păgubește.
As it was mentioned, if someone does not attend class will lose something or will have experience a disadvantage.
Dacă ne uităm la corpul uman,
we look at the human body,
fiecare membru în parte are un rol.
Every member in the body has a role, a function.
Și dacă unul din membre ar lipsi,
and if one of the members would be missing,
este o problemă.
Then we have a problem.
Nu vedem.
We can't see.
Ne tot uităm și nu vedem.
So we would try and we would not be able to see.
În adunare, unul dintre frați are simțul mai dezvoltat.
In a class, let's say one might have a more developed sense of one sense or another more developed.
Aude mai bine textele Scripturii. Pricepe mai bine.
Maybe is able to discern certain scriptures easier, better.
Altul vede mai bine anumite lucruri.
Another one might be able to see better.
Altul cântă mai bine.
Another one sings better.
Altul vorbește mai bine despre un lucru ca celălalt.
Another one has a talent of speaking and expressing certain thoughts better.
Dacă ăla lipsește din adunare,
if one of them is missing class,
nu numai el pierde.
Not only him would be in disadvantage or be missing something,
pierde toată comunitatea.
The whole ecclesia will be losing or missing something.
Trebuie să simțim că noi suntem chemați de Dumnezeu și fiecare avem ceva acolo de lucrat în comunitate.
We each have to feel that we have a role to fulfill and to play in that community.
Să simțim totdeauna că dacă nu suntem la adunare la momentul când este adunare,
and to always have that feeling that if we're not there at the class,
noi nu ne facem datoria noastră acolo.
We do not fulfill the,
pentru care Domnul ne-a chemat.
The duty and the responsibility that was assigned to us by our Lord.
Okay, thank you. The first question is really our ideal question. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Now we're going to get into more of the subsets of this question, which, you know, not by by forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, we have the greatest support group in the world. I mean, that's the brethren. And we can come to the brethren and we can talk about our issues, problems, and also more definition of what, you know, scriptures talk about. So with that, let's get into our next question, which is, am I speaking too loud here? No. Sounds too loud to me. Sometimes discouragement leads to poor attendance at meetings. How can we overcome discouragement? And I guess another, like, kind of a subset to that question would be, who benefits from discouragement? So with that, sometimes discouragement leads to poor attendance at meetings. How can we overcome discouragement? Brother Russ?
I think I'll add one additional aspect to this. Sometimes, and we can think of actually several instances, there are circumstances where brethren are not in attendance at an ecclesia. It may have been the ecclesia that they typically attended in the past, but they've chosen to remove themselves from the ecclesia based on, I'll say, some sort of moral matter within the ecclesia or something that, by reason of conscience, they are not in attendance. So I think we need to be somewhat careful when we kind of address this whole matter of attendance at ecclesias or discouragement in attendance, that sometimes there are what we might say are good grounds for not necessarily being in attendance at, you know, the body of believers that one has been accustomed to being with, albeit, as we were expressing earlier, there can be alternate ways to make up for the loss. So I think that needs to be put in as a little bit of a caveat that, you know, sometimes if we're not familiar with circumstances from a distance, we might say, well, why is that? Those brethren are remiss. They're not in meetings. You know, we don't see them out at their class anymore. We don't always know every single circumstance.
Okay.
Discouragement.
Eu am să mă leg scurt de descurajare.
I would like to just touch a little bit on discouragement.
Prima armă a lui Satan este să ne descurajeze.
The first weapon that the adversary uses is to discourage us.
Dacă el reușește să ne descurajeze,
and if he succeeds in discouraging us,
motive vor fi multe.
Then a lot of other reasons will surface.
Domnul n-a spus niciodată, voi sunteți îndreptățiți să nu fiți împreună.
Jesus never said, you are justified to not meet together.
Domnul îi întreabă pe cei 12, voi nu vă duceți? De ce nu vă duceți? Că uite, cei mai mulți dintre ucenici m-au părăsit.
Jesus asked the 12 disciples, aren't you going to leave me as well? Look, the other ones left me.
În mine s-au potignit și s-au dus.
They stumbled over what I said and they left.
Cei mai mulți din ucenici.
Majority, a great number of the disciples.
Și apostolii ce au spus?
The disciples said, the 12 apostles said,
unde să ne ducem? La tine sunt cuvintele vieții.
Where can we go? We find the words of life to, with you.
Dacă problema apare în adunare,
if the problem appears in a class, in an ecclesia,
nu este un motiv să nu mergem la adunare.
There is no reason to go to stop attending the class, the ecclesia, the gathering.
Și iar aș vrea să dau un exemplu.
Again, I would like to give an example.
În Vechiul Testament, preotul,
in the Old Testament, the priest,
nu avea misiunea numai să aducă jertfe.
Had more of a function, additional function than bring than dealing with the sacrifices or perform. Yes.
El trebuia și să stabilească boala.
He also, in addition to the sacrifices, he also had to deal with diagnosing diseases.
Din șapte în șapte zile verifica rana.
Oh, in the case of leprosy. Every 7 days, he would have to diagnose how the leprosy in whoever had that was progressing or was healing.
Fiecare adunare are bătrânii ei.
Each ecclesia has its elders.
Și dacă este o problemă,
and if there is a problem,
adunarea se adresează, frate. Hai să vedem ce se întâmplă aici. Uite, este o boală aici.
So if there is a problem, then the elders have the responsibility to address the brother or sister and address the issue and say that we see a problem, we see an illness here, what can be done?
Bătrânii adunării, dacă nu reușesc din adunarea în care facem parte, trebuie să chemi pe alți frați din altă adunare.
And if the elders cannot succeed with resolving the issue, then they should enlist other brethren from other ecclesias, whoever can help in that matter.
Cei din spiritul lumii fac acest lucru. Nu mă duc la ședință că am ceva cu ăla.
Oh, so maybe we will
la ședințele lumești.
Maybe we see in the world if
parlament sau știu unde.
If somebody has an issue with somebody else, I'll say, oh, I won't go to that session because I can't stand that person, I have an issue with that person, I won't attend.
Nu e o metodă din scriptură.
It's not a scriptural maybe admonition.
Noi trebuie să discutăm.
In other words, the thought is that if there is a problem, it needs to be addressed, it needs to be discussed among the brethren.
Okay, thank you. Just a couple of comments of my own on this. When voting for elders, I think it's important to remember that there are going to be issues that arise in the ecclesia. And when you vote... And when you do voting, you have to vote or look at somebody that can address problems. You know, it's easy to sit back and not be able to address a problem or to overlook problems. But you really have to look at somebody that will be able to tackle these problems or address them so that they will bubble up from the bottom and you won't have issues. If you just keep on overlooking problems, I think then you get brethren that might split off or discouragement, as Brother Russ was talking about. So I think that's one of the, you know, it's a talent almost to be able to address issues and confront them. And it's
You know, and through my experience, I mean, the rest of the brethren, it can be a real gut-wrenching experience to have to address some of these problems. And you have to step up to the plate and you have to do it. So I think that's maybe the first step in looking at,
root causes
and even in your voting for brethren. There's some brethren that, you know, don't want to address issues. And you have to make sure that if you're going to have issues, there's always going to be issues, and when you want them confronted, you have to have somebody that is able to step up to the plate and look at these. Brother John, Brother Russ?
Just two added comments. Much of it already covered, but I think we might have mentioned in our earlier remarks, in Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I mean, that in and of itself should be both an encouragement for us to try to fellowship with our brethren, be in study with them, but it's also a kind of demonstrates the reality that if you don't go to meetings, it's like you're missing an opportunity to be with the Lord, because he's specifically saying, I'm going to be there. Why aren't you there? If it's that important to you and the Lord is in the midst of a meeting, what are you doing sitting at home or finding other worldly distractions that might keep you from that kind of attendance? So I think in a way you have to almost look at some of these issues in a very almost like elemental way to realize that it's a responsibility, but it's also a privilege. There are blessings, I think, as Brother Masu had mentioned earlier, that you can receive by virtue of attendance.
Brother John, did you have a follow-up at all? No? Okay. Let's go on to question number 3. What do the Scriptures teach about the importance of preparing for meetings? What do the Scriptures teach about the importance of preparing for meetings? And we can quote the Scripture. It's already been quoted before. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Or 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And then we also heard the one quoted in Acts 17, verse 6. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. So with that, we'd like to open up our comments. Brother Russ? Brother John?
Aș vrea să completez încă un text legat de cele amintite din Romani 12:11.
I would like to add an additional scripture to the ones just quoted. Romans 12:11. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
Noi trebuie să dorim să lucrăm în poporul lui Dumnezeu cu toată inima noastră, cu tot cugetul, cu toată puterea noastră, ca pentru Domnul.
We need to have a fervent desire to work with the brethren, to work in the Lord's cause with all our strength.
Trebuie iubirea să ne împingă la serviciu pentru adevăr și frați.
The love should be what will stimulate us to be active among the brethren.
Dacă așa vom gândi atunci când vom merge la adunare,
and if that's the motivating sentiment, love is the motivating sentiment, then when we go to class,
vom cânta din toată inima,
we will sing from all hearts,
ne vom bucura din toată inima cu frații,
we will rejoice with the brethren from our bottom of our hearts,
și vom dori să avem adunare cât mai des,
and we will desire to be with them as often as possible.
Sigur că pregătirea noastră pentru adunare,
our preparation for meeting,
totdeauna să ne gândim, Mă duc la adunare ca să fiu o binecuvântare pentru frați.
So our thought will always should always be how can I be a blessing to the brethren?
Și aceasta dacă o facem așa cum frații au amintit.
And as the brethren have here have already mentioned.
Domnul va binecuvânta munca noastră și
there will be a blessing of our work if we put our effort into being a blessing to others. There will be a blessing in return as well.
Thank you. Brother Russ?
I think of this.
Okay. One of the, I think, greater feelings that one has during a meeting, an ecclesia meeting, or even secularly, is when two minds can meet together and they have similar type of thinking, or when one can build on another one's idea. And so by studying ahead of time and participating in the meetings, you can stimulate each other to delve deeper into the scriptures, and also it helps build up each other. And if you don't study, I think there is an issue where maybe you step back and you're looking and you're going, you know, everybody else is having a great conversation here, and why am I not part of this? And so to be part of it is part of studying, I think, in advance and being able to participate in the meetings. So, Brother Russ?
Just an afterthought of sorts. I don't know if this might have been even one of Brother Len's discourses a while back. The idea of you build muscles by resistance. So even where you may not see eye to eye within the meeting, it's rather important that you develop your spiritual muscles, if you will, by virtue of comparing thoughts in areas where you might not have complete agreement. So that process is all part of us to being able to rightly divide the word of truth and to have the conviction of our own faith. And I rather like the quote that Brother Len had Dwight Moody there, that really all of that in many respects goes back to the word of God. And not just listening to what's preached, but studying it for yourself and being prepared when you interact with your brethren.
Brother John, any follow-up on that?
Pot să spun încă un gând.
One more thought.
Am învățat de la fratele Carol Huggins.
I learned from Brother Carl.
Când am fost mai tânăr, îmi spunea el.
When I was younger, he told my dad.
Încercam să fiu un prieten cu toți acei care gândeau ca mine.
I tried to be friends with all those that thought like me.
După ce am mai bătrânit,
when I became older,
am început să am prieteni și pe aceia care nu cred ca mine.
I started making friends with those that also did not believe the same way as I did.
Mi-a plăcut mult gândul acesta.
And I really like that thought.
Dacă așa gândim, niciodată n-o să ne despărțim pentru că nu gândim tocmai la fel toți.
Oh, so if you have that type of approach, then you will not be inclined to separate just because you don't see eye to eye with some of the brethren.
Vom avea ureche deschisă pentru fiecare.
And we will be inclined to have an open ear to other opinions and weigh them out.
Okay, thank you for us.
Another added thought. Certainly within ecclesia meetings, elders bear a great deal of responsibility by virtue of their responsibility to shepherd the flock. So in that regard, one of the, I think, standout examples that's recorded for us in Scripture is when the Apostle Paul is said to have, and this is recorded in Acts 20, verse 27, where he says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." I think that's something that elders in the context of preparation for meetings and such really need to weigh carefully what that lesson is. You know, it's you can as an elder you could easily steer an ecclesia along one avenue of like doctrinal teaching strictly along the lines of getting along together one with another and the fruits of the Spirit and things of that sort, and then totally miss the mark on other avenues of doctrine, on the parousia or whatever it might be, where there is, almost like a gross negligence on the part of the elders giving, as it were, all the counsel. So the preparation, of course, everybody has a responsibility there, but elders in particular, I think, have a much broader responsibility in that regard.
Okay, so the whole Council of God would be a balance, a good balanced diet for the ecclesia. Okay. Brother John, another follow-up?
Just a little bit.
Am învățat de la păstori.
I learned from shepherds.
Că bucuria lor când merg cu oile la păscut.
That their joy when they're out with the sheep, with their sheep.
Prima lor bucurie este.
The first joy is.
Să vadă oile că încep să pască.
To see that the sheep start to graze. Is it grazing? Yes.
Cred că aceasta ar trebui să fie bucuria unui bătrân.
And I believe that the elder should experience such a joy or desire to have that experience.
Adunarea se bucură?
Is the class happy or enjoying the message?
Dacă voi spune volumul 1 trebuie studiat 10 ani.
If I say, oh, first volume has to be studied 10 years from now, continuously.
Și am să mă duc la studiu și am să văd că dorm. Da?
And I go to the study and then I see brethren maybe falling asleep.
Nu trebuie schimbat?
Shouldn't I make a change then?
Cred că da.
I believe so.
Aceasta este misiunea păstorului.
This is one of the mission or the responsibility of the shepherd.
Să vadă fața celor care se adună. Se bucură?
To see the expression on the brethren in the ecclesia, to see the expression on their faces. Are they happy? Are they growing?
Le place ce se studiază?
Do they enjoy what's being studied?
Chiar și mâncarea cea mai bună, dacă o dai cuiva zilnic, zilnic, zilnic.
Even the best food, if you give it repetitiously every day to somebody.
Nu va aduce bucurie celui ce.
Yeah, will not be enjoyable to the one eating it.
Brother Ross,
just a scripture direct to that point. In Hebrews 5th chapter, verse 12. It is written, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which would be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So this admonition is that you have to grow. You can't just stay on the milk all the time. You have to grow and move on to the stronger meat.
Okay, with that, we'll go on to question number 4. And it kind of overlaps to what we talked about here, but I think we'll take 4, 5, and 6 maybe together. How important is it for each one of us to participate during the meetings? And what is the benefit for us and the brethren? And then that the meetings would be studies, discourses, testimony meetings. So how important is it for each one of us to participate during the meeting? And what is the benefit for us and the brethren? And we can weave in, studies, discourses, testimony meetings. Brother Ross?
Maybe on the matter of testimony meetings, I think Brother Bill, in some of his notes, and as we have observed in the past, the pastor has placed a great deal of emphasis on the importance of testimony meetings in giving brethren the opportunity to, as it were, express how the truth has effected a change or a challenge in their personal life. And I think, sometimes we can accomplish that if we're more on the outgoing. More outgoing by nature, we can enter into the experiences as it were, as sympathetic high priests among our brethren through our daily fellowship with our brethren. But for others that may not be so prone to being conversant with the brotherhood, testimony meetings kind of force the issue a little bit and help you overcome maybe the timidity you would have in doing that privately, where you are like almost put on the spot to say, how is the truth affecting your life? And I think that's a wonderful lesson, and maybe you have that quote handy that you can at least give the brethren to look at their leisure.
Brother John?
Cred că biserica la început
I believe that the early church
a avut adunări combinate. Când era în public, erau discursuri.
Yeah, when so the early church had various study, various type of meetings in often with the public they would have present discourses, sermons.
Și rugăciune și laudă.
And then also prayer and praise.
Sigur că Pavel, când observăm la el, el organiza adunările ca să aibă studiu.
And then we see later Paul organizing ecclesias and encouraging studies among those ecclesias.
În studiu, fiecare membru în parte poate să participe și să întrebe și să răspundă.
So in a study then everyone has the benefit of participation. They can either make a comment or ask questions.
Și cred că în zilele noastre studiul, dacă este făcut corect, el va aduce binecuvântare.
And I believe that in our days, studies that are organized properly and led properly will bring much blessing to the ecclesia members.
Okay, thank you. And I'd like to add, one of the best ways to learn is to verbalize what you think, what you believe. So, not just in a testimony meeting, but also in our regular studies, to be able to participate and verbalize what you believe is an extremely important learning process to cement these ideas. Anything else? What can we say about participating in business meetings?
Noi în România nu obișnuim mai foarte rar să avem adunări de felul acesta.
In Romania, we do not as often have such meetings.
Noi ne-am obișnuit doar o dată de două ori pe an să ne întâlnim și să discutăm o situație ca și aceasta. Da. Business meeting, mă refer la partea de bani și de...
Administrative matters, more that aspect, they will discuss maybe once or twice a year.
Dacă sunt altfel de probleme, atunci alea le discutăm când este necesar.
And if there are certain issues that arise in our class, then we will discuss them as they come up, so that we don't schedule ahead of time meetings for that.
Well, I think in a very practical way, business meetings are probably the best meetings to demonstrate our character, how well we are able to control ourselves under duress. They are also the best opportunities to try to abide by Word of Scripture, in terms of how we conduct ourselves. Certainly our business meetings, we've taken much of the advice of Pastor Russell with regard to the election of elders and the process that makes sense, the qualifications that are outlined in Timothy and such. So there are certain things that collectively the body of Christ should recognize as being almost like prerequisite for a healthy, practical business meeting experience. In some instances, you might have, where we think brethren have fallen short, in fact, we knew of one instance in the past where the unconsecrated were permitted to vote in business meetings. And we think that's totally in discord with Scripture because the business meetings are designed to make decisions that are in the benefit of the new creature. And if one is not consecrated, they have no business participating, and certainly that's a clear example of where elders should take control and cut that type of thinking right off at the knees. It doesn't make sense, but it's happened, you know, and that's a danger in a business meeting. Of course, the general counsel of Scripture, you find that God is no respecter of persons. And how hard it is in any ecclesia circumstance, especially where there's many relationships through marriage or family, how hard is it, and I'm saying this facetiously, to be impartial and not to be influenced by the countenance of someone you know or just by your own natural affection for individuals. So that's another area of challenge in a business meeting, that when we make a decision, are we voting because we think this is like the express will of God, or are we voting because he's my brother-in-law, you know, or I've known him since I was a kid, and you know, the scriptures are pretty plain that we are not to, you know, be partial in that regard. This is not a healthy thing for the ecclesia to do if they're being influenced. Of course, on the opposite end of the spectrum, elders are sometimes very capable at influencing a decision. Well, I want the elder wants the decision to go in a direction, and the elder can craft his arguments and his thinking in that direction, and maybe keep the opposition at bay, you know, a little bit by not letting, you know, enough brethren participate in the process of making a decision. So you have to be careful that your elders aren't being crafty. So business meetings are not just, in some cases, yes, it is that simple. But there are those sublime areas that one has to be aware of as well. And you know, maybe we'll get into the more weighty matters with regard to what Brother John was alluding to, where you have real problems that have to be addressed that are outside of your standard administrative functions. And I think that's an area that's very critical for us to at least spend a few minutes on. And I don't know where we stand.
Well, just a comment for myself here. I think this goes back to the question again on the ecclesia responsibility in voting in your leadership. And who you want to lead business meetings. I think Brother Russ touched on quite a few important parts. Making sure it's the best will for the entire ecclesia and not just getting your way, looking at the big picture. And the brethren can, you know, discern that, I think, and make sure that happens in the ecclesia, because somebody that does hold the microphone does hold a lot of weight in the ecclesia, and they can sway brethren's thinkings on different things. So I think that's a very important aspect also. Brother John, did you have a...
I guess, amintesc totuși că nu am gândit tocmai totul aici.
If you would like to touch on the aspect of the voting and elections. The voting and elections, he missed that aspect of it.
Mi-a plăcut tot ce s-a amintit în legătură cu votul.
I agree with what was discussed so far.
Am vrut doar un punct să mai amintesc.
I'd like to just touch on one other aspect.
Când noi votăm pe un bătrân de adunare,
when we vote an elder for an elder,
trebuie să ne uităm dacă are ungerea din partea lui Dumnezeu.
We need to look for the anointing from God.
Dacă are, este călăuzit de Spiritul lui Dumnezeu.
If that person is guided by the God's Holy Spirit.
El poate să fie o persoană foarte amabilă, foarte respectoasă.
A person might be very cordial, might be very pleasant.
Dar dacă nu are Spiritul Domnului,
but if that person doesn't possess the Spirit of God,
el nu are greutatea care trebuie.
Doesn't hold the weight that should be he should have.
Și de aceea nici nu se va implica să facă mult.
And we will not see such a person getting very involved in the matters of the ecclesia.
Și în românește este o vorbă așa ca și o glumă, este ca apa cea sfințită, nici nu strică, nici nu tornește. Adică nici nu ajută nimic.
Oh, it's and there is an expression in Romanian, that person will be acting like the holy water. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't help. It won't do any good.
No, Papa.
One quick comment by myself, and then I want to get back to Brother Russ's. He had a few things he wanted to say. In a situation I'm familiar with, there was issues in an ecclesia, and I asked one of the brethren, I said, why did you keep on voting in these elders if there's this tension that always was happening? And the reply was, well, I learned so much from them. And I think that goes along with Brother John's thought here, you know, about the Spirit of God and the Spirit of doing the right thing. It's not always, you know, the most knowledgeable that we should maybe be voting in, if those are the ones that are going to be causing some of the problems. So with that, we'd like to turn it over to Brother Russ, because I think he had maybe a few more comments he wanted to address here.
We were mentioning before that, you know, outside of the administrative functions of an ecclesia and properly selecting elders or others of office, you know, in terms of deacons or other offices, there are those business meetings that have to deal with matters of discipline and order in the ecclesia. And I'll just throw out a couple of observations that we've made that are kind of distressful. I guess one is the failure oftentimes to see a distinction between sins that would be personal trespasses, as illustrated in Matthew 18, if thy brother have aught against you, a personal trespass, versus those sins, as Paul would enumerate them in 1 Corinthians 5, where you have sins against God. Huge difference. But oftentimes we find that the line is so blurred that it's not acknowledged. You'll remember David in, I think it's Psalm 51, in connection with his trespass. He says, I have sinned against thee and thee only. David was very emphatic that his trespass in the primary sense was against God. It wasn't, you know, of course Uriah was the victim of his, one of the victims of his sin, so to speak, but David acknowledged that the trespass was a trespass against God. We're never, either as individuals or ecclesias, able to forgive trespasses against God. Not shown in Scripture, as far as we're aware of. We are at liberty to forgive trespasses one against another. And those, of course, even there, it's prerequisited by saying, if thy brother trespass against thee, and like he asked for a repentance, then forgive him. So there has to be almost like a prerequisite in the interest of the errant brother that he comes or she comes to their senses to see that, well, that minor infraction has been a bother to one of my brethren, and I keep repeating it. I just keep failing to get the lesson. And then, of course, the Matthew 18 scenario brings it. Well, bring two or three other witnesses with you so that it can escalate to a class matter, even if it's a petty, starting off with a petty petty trespass. But sins against God, the fornication and things of that sort, totally different. And on that point, I think another point that's lost, in 1 Corinthians, you know, where we have the classic example that's given of a terribly gross sin, the Apostle Paul, first of all, he says in his general instruction in that context, in 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, 11 or thereabouts, he says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator. He doesn't say if any brother is a fornicator. He says if any man is called a brother. Just in name only. Has nothing to do with whether they're spirit begotten or not. The reason being is that the ecclesia is to be, as it were, a chaste virgin in the sight of the Lord. The ecclesia is meant to be pure and spotless, especially from the standpoint of being a spectacle unto the world and angels. So That I think, is a critical distinction that many brethren fail to see. It's not whether they are a brother or not. It's whether they're named. The word means simply named a brother. That they've been brought in so abundantly or close into your fellowship, you've been calling them a brother or sister, whether they're consecrated or not. Last lesson that we think is pertinent is that in 2 Corinthians, after the ecclesia follows Paul's advice, and then they eventually bring the individual back into fellowship in the ecclesia, he sums up that whole matter in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 12. And he makes this statement, and I think this is a crucial statement for us to see. He says, "Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong." So the interest wasn't on behalf of the sinner, per se, nor for his cause that suffered the wrong, nor for the cause of the person who had been trespassed against. He says, "But that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you." The whole ecclesia had put themselves at risk because they failed to follow the prescription in Scripture to handle that type of situation. And they were, as the Old Testament illustration is, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So I think there's a lot of lessons in that Corinthians account that show the responsibility of ecclesias to judge properly, and certainly the desire in any instance is to bring one back to repentance if they're the errant party. But on the other hand, we are not in a position to forgive people of sins against God. That'll be ultimately the decision on the Lord's part. He's the only one who can read the heart. The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Going back to Brother Len's lesson earlier, that you really want to try to keep that seat of emotions in accord with God.